Welcome to the Word from the Ancient Path, stories and sermons for the journey from Ancient Path Ministries, La Iglesia Volviendo a la Senda Antigua. I'm your host, Pastor Kevin Job. Now, La Senda Antigua was founded in 2011 in Jovellanos, Cuba, by Pastors Jose Santiago and Yamile Cruz. My wife, Tani, and I serve as U.S. ministry coordinators for the work of spreading the gospel in Cuba and beyond. Now, this program is meant to be an encouragement and a blessing to you as we share testimony of how God works extraordinary things in and through ordinary people, people called to the work of bringing good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom. Today on the podcast, we head out on our Season 5 farewell tour, and we begin a deep dive into Spirit-inspired teachings from our founding pastor, my little brother, Jose Santiago. I've chosen several of his sermons to highlight starting today, some of his greatest hits, so to speak. Now, the first set is a message that was given to the people of La Senda Antigua in fall of 2020 at the first full worship gathering after they'd been prohibited from holding services nearly 4 months. This is a powerful word. But before we go any further, I want to tell you that there might be some moments when it's quite poignant or emotional to hear this message, because Joseito had labeled the recording First Worship After COVID, and hindsight tells us that in Cuba things were only getting started. So ultimately, I decided to leave the difficult portions in to be true to the preached word of God and to be true to the legacy of my little brother. So here is my best attempt at conveying to you part one of Jose's message entitled Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Are we now ready to receive the word of the Lord? How many of you say amen? Come on, how many of you can say to God tonight, Lord, speak into my life? So here we are, after so much time, after 3 months. So where do we start? I mean, really, it's been a long time. What do I say? What word do I bring? What can I say to the people of God in the middle of this moment in which we're living, with everything we're working through? These have been months that will never be forgotten. Really, months that will not be forgotten, not even in the history of humankind. Months that have not only changed the story for a family or for a single town or a nation, but these few months have changed the course of history for the entire world. And they've changed the way the entire world turned. And still, we don't really, we still don't know how the world might change a little bit more. Some time ago, we've been saying how God had placed this sensibility in our hearts that our first worship service back together would be a time of worship where we would celebrate with Thanksgiving. And so tonight, I want to bring a word, and with it, three things that I think God is saying to us through this word. Three things for which you and I ought to be thankful to God. Amen? Amen. All right, then. It's time to be thankful. This is a time for us to look to God. It is a moment in which we should be worshiping God. A time period to seek God's face. And it's time to have an encounter with the Lord. It is time to prove ourselves pleasing to the only one who can give us salvation and eternal life. And you know, He is. Beloved brothers and sisters, in the middle of all this crisis we're going through, He's the only one who can do something for us as His people, for us as His children. And so, why today then why should we have worship today based on Thanksgiving? Well, it's simple. God has been good. And let me tell you, God has been good and in a big way. And so if you've been among the people who may have been going on day by day and you've taken account of what's going on all over the world and you've not focused on only on this situation, but instead you've been looking deeper to see what God's doing, then you come here as a person with great reason to be very, very thankful to God. Even in the middle of everything we're living through, there are countries where the number of cases of this disease have risen drastically. Great powers of this world have been shaken and shocked by incredible numbers among their people who have died. Tonight I'm going to cite 13 countries and the number of people lost up to just a few days ago. And I don't know, by now there might have been several more. The United States of America, 126,785 people have died. In Brazil, a little bit more than 55,000. The United Kingdom, 43,000. Italy, 34,000. France, 29. When I say 29, I mean 29,000. Spain, 28,000. Mexico, 25,000. India, 15,000. Iran, 10,000. Belgium, 9,000. Germany, also 9,000. And Russia, 8,000. Peru, 8,000. All of these nations have had critical cases, and there are numerous deaths like this in many other nations as well. And Cuba, 85 cases. Now that merits applause. As God has been our foundation, as God has guarded us, only 85 cases. God has been good. God has guarded us. God has cared for us. God has blessed us. So my dear brothers and sisters, maybe you've wanted to close your eyes to what the world's been going through right now. I mean, maybe you and your neighbors are too busy looking at what's going on here. I mean, you can look at each other and go, I mean, just look around here. We got crisis. There are problems. There's scarcity. There's a whole lot of things going on, but there's life. And God has guarded us, and God has freed us, and we have, my beloved brothers and sisters, above all things, we have the favor and the mercy of God in our midst. And so tonight, I just want to share a little bit of scripture with you, and I want to attempt to share something with you as briefly as possible, this word from Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4. I mean, here we're going to find three reasons, or we're going to find three aspects of God's actions toward us for which we truly should be deeply, deeply thankful. Psalm 103, it's a precious psalm. It's a psalm of King David, and this is what the word of the Lord says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Say that with me right now. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now repeat this next part with me. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That is the word of God for the people of God tonight. So look here with me right now at how the psalmist begins. At how David starts this psalm. It is one of the most beautiful psalms of thanksgiving that we're going to find in the Word of the Lord. And David starts this psalm making reference to, or better yet, not making reference to how the city should be thankful, or how the faithful people should be thankful, or how other people ought to give thanks to God. Sometimes we can be looking around and we can get stuck thinking about who is or who isn't being thankful. And we spend a great deal of time caught up in whether or not and or who is and who is not thankful for whatever might have been done for them. But tonight right here, I want you to understand something. King David, as he begins this psalm, he's not thinking about whether there's someone else who ought to be thankful. David was thinking that he needed to be thankful. We just can't be looking around thinking about who else ought to be grateful for whatever. You and I right now in this moment, we need to be reminding ourselves that we should be thankful because we have a whole lot of motivation and a lot of things for which we ought to be giving thanks to God. And it's necessary for us to understand this as a spiritual principle, this Thanksgiving. We're always talking and we're always saying there's spiritual laws and spiritual principles. And here we have one of those principles, Thanksgiving. And this is a key that's going to open doors. This is a key to blessing. And so the psalmist starts here by saying the first thing when we think of Thanksgiving, it has to begin with us. It's personal. Take a second with me and say to yourself right now, this starts with me. I have to be thankful. I don't need to be looking around to see who else is being thankful. I must know that it's me who first needs to give thanks because, you know, I got a lot of reasons why I ought to give thanks to God. And then hear what David says here. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And he's saying, myself. He's talking to himself. He says, my soul, bless. My soul, bless your God, my soul. Listen, beloved, there are times when, well, yesterday I had a conversation with a pastor and we were talking about this. And he said to me, look, Josito, nobody can obligate people to be thankful and not be thankful themselves also. And I said, I'm not really trying to obligate, but let me give you a little example. There are these things in life, these reflexes, conditioned reflexes, unconditioned reflexes. True, yes, you do things from conditioned reflex and from unconditioned reflex. It's the same way we learn these normal accepted ways of behavior, right? And how we just do things in general. We have to learn these things. Say it with me tonight. We have to learn. We have to learn to be thankful. And we have to, just as it was with David. David talking to his own soul, his interior self. He's speaking, you see, in maybe the most intimate place deep inside of him. And he says, oh, my soul, you have got to learn to bless the Lord, to bless the one who has given you all things. Hey, beloved, there are three aspects of God's actions that I want to share with you. Three reasons we need to learn to be thankful to God. And number one is this. He's redeemed us from all our sins. God redeemed us. And let me ask you, which sin is he forgiven? Oh, all of them, right? It's not just one. The word says all your iniquities. God is the one who has forgiven all your iniquities. And many times, you know, we have this idea about blessing, and we think that blessing is only some symbol of prosperity, or that it's some sign of healing, or it's some supernatural work or miracle. But listen, blessing, my beloved, let's be clear about it. The very first blessing, the primary blessing, number one blessing of God in your life is when your sins are forgiven. There is no blessing on which we stand, no true blessing for us if we've not received forgiveness for our sins. If the blood of Christ has not washed our sins away, if he has not cleaned it all out from inside to the outside, you're not going to have anything to show. But rather than be washed clean, a lot of times, you know, today we try to live with the appearance of being blessed, right? With this facade that we want to show to people in front of others. Sometimes people just want people to look from the outside without seeing the inside. But God looks at, listen to me, God looks at the heart, right? And this is why the psalmist says that God is He who pardons. Who pardons your sin? Who pardons all your iniquities? Who rescues your life from the pit? My beloved, who forgives your sins? Who is it that shed his blood for you? His name is Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus, when you showed up at his house, when you showed yourself in his presence, like the condition you arrived in wasn't really important at all. Anyway, you showed up, he embraced you. Just like the father in the parable of the prodigal son came out as the boy approached and he hugged him. It isn't important how you are when you show up. It doesn't matter what sort of shape you and I are in when we came to Jesus. He embraced you. He forgave you. And he cleaned you up because this is our God. And this is why I tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, there's no greater miracle than the conversion of a soul. Maybe you've been waiting around for some great miracle of healing in your life. This miracle is going to appear. I believe this. This is a moment when God is going to start showing himself through miracles. But listen, the greatest change of your condition won't be a miraculous sign. The greatest transformation isn't a healing. The greatest conversion is what happens when a person receives Christ and has their sins forgiven. Because at the same time someone is washed, rescued, forgiven, and restored, he or she is brought back to being made again as a child of God. So when someone is sick, what do we pray for? We pray for healing, right? When someone's in crisis or has some sort of problem that for one reason or another can't be resolved through human efforts, how are we going to pray? We're going to pray for a miracle. We say, Lord, only you can fix this. We need a miracle. Like when we see the account of the man, the paralytic, who his friends lowered through the roof. Remember that? When Jesus was in the house teaching and preaching, and they put their paralyzed friend in front of Jesus, right? What were the first words that Jesus had for this man? Your sins are forgiven. Now, I picture the thoughts in some of their minds when they heard this. They had to be confused. I mean, I don't think sin was the symptom that these friends or the people gathered were seeing first in this guy. I don't think these guys brought their paralyzed buddy to Jesus to have his sins forgiven. They brought him because he'd been paralyzed for some time, and they chose to go to all that trouble at that moment to get him in front of Jesus because their friend had a problem that only Jesus could solve. And it doesn't really look like Jesus is in tune with their purposes. But that's the thing about the Lord. He always cuts to the chase. He cuts to our first need. Say this with me. Jesus is always thinking of me. Yeah, he thinks of you, and he always thinks of the best for you. Beloved, Jesus is always concerned first with what we truly need. The worst thing about that man's condition that day was not his paralysis. It was that he needed it to be forgiven of his sins. I want to tell you today, my beloved brothers and sisters, that the worst state of being of anyone, right, regarding everything that a person or a family or a town or a nation might be going through, it's not an economic situation, no. No, the worst problems we have are spiritual, and they're brought on by sin. And everything else comes from this infirmity. But when a person receives Jesus and their sins are forgiven, things begin to come out differently. Things begin to be different. So this brings us to the end of our time for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, our work depends on the partnership of dear friends like you. You can find out more about what we do and how you can walk alongside us on our website, ancientpathministries.org. You can like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ancient Path Ministries. I'm Pastor Kevin Jobe for Ancient Path Ministries, La Iglesia Volviendo a la Senda Antigua. Until next time, may God bless you richly. Go be the church.